We haven't had a chance to meet. Good morning. My name is Craig, and it really is a treat to be together on this great day. We chuckle with the guys doing the video announcements, clearly not recorded this morning. But, you know, when they did them, those couple of days ago, whatever, they spoke as if it was true, right? And that's exactly what happens with Easter. We can speak as if it's true because we know. I keep thinking, now, it's not an Agatha Christie movie, if you know who she is, but we've read the end of the story. We know what happens in the end. Isn't that cool? Isn't that good news? It changes everything for us. And the guys on the Richard and Lindsay said this afternoon, but straight after this meeting, we're going to have the kids' Easter egg hunt. And if you want to shoot off to the shops and grab a drink or get some supplies and come back, you're welcome. We're just going to hang out together. And you'll probably, if you have kids, you'll probably need to let them run around a bit just to work the sugar out before you try and take them home. But nevertheless, it's good to be together, isn't it? Well done. Good answer. Have you ever said something, have you ever promised to do something that you weren't sure you were going to do? People said, yeah, I'll do that, but in your heart you're like, there's a chance. How about when you were little? Yeah, Mom, I promise I'll make my bed after I go and play with my friends. How about, I'm going to start saving as soon as I've got more money. Yeah? Perhaps you've believed something that someone said that didn't turn out to be true. Now, I'm tiptoeing here, but stick with me. How about, vote for us and we will, ... Now, you can apply that to every party, okay? So just relax, your party included. How about invest in our scheme and we will make you rich? Ever heard those? We call them empty promises, don't we? We talk about empty promises. It's a promise, but we know it. Nah, there's very little chance that it'll ever turn out to be. I wonder if you've got an email recently from a member of royalty. Or maybe some government official, probably from another country, guaranteeing you that there is a lot of money just waiting to be deposited into your account. Anyone got one of those? Yes? Dr. So-and-so, or prince or princess or queen even. Have you had one of those? That someone's passed away, there's this huge inheritance just waiting. It needs to be spirited out of the country as quick as possible. And if you will just let them use your bank account, they're more than willing to give you a very large share of whoever's inheritance. Yes? Mm-hmm. Just by the way, I think the guy's name's James Veitch. Cat? I think it's James Veitch. Have you seen his movies? The guy, go Google on YouTube. He's the guy that responds to the scammers. It's great fun to watch. And so all you need to do is just send them a few dollars, just a little couple of hundred, and then the millions will flow into your account, yes? Everyone shakes their head these days. I hope you do. Remember, don't answer that email, okay? You know that according to the FBI, nearly 15,000 people were caught by that scam. They call it the 419 scam. And in 2019, so not 100 years ago, just 2 years ago, nearly 15,000 Americans were caught by this very scam. Collectively, they lost over $100 million. Have you ever wondered why those emails keep coming? Well, that's why. Yeah? $100 million. On average, that's about $7,000 each. Seven times a dollar is about R1 million, isn't it? How does it work? Seven times 15, 20. Now you ask yourself, how do people fall for that? Who would answer? It's so far-fetched. How would we fall for that? Well, the truth is that most of us deep down are hoping for a shortcut to the finish line, right? Most of us are. Oh, it's very hard to refuse a good deal, right? We're hoping for a quick way out of where we are to the life that we dream about. It's basic advertising strategy, isn't it? Near Midrand, on one of the billboards driving this way, they were advertising tiles, you know, floor tiles or wall tiles, those things. Yeah, tiles, we say in my house. Not towels, right? Tiles. And the tagline, there's a lady with, you know, living her dream life, and it says next to it, you deserve this life. They're not just selling you tiles, they're offering you a whole new lifestyle. In just 3 minutes or more, you too could, you know, be a movie star. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I've watched some of the products that are becoming a little bit more mainstream at the moment. How it's always the guys in the suits, it's the guys with the fancy cars that are using that product. Yes? And it's like, man, if you get this product, then your life will be just like this. Sounds like an empty promise to me. Because you buy those tiles, you put them in your house, your life's just the same the next day, right? Except now you've got tiles to clean. Yeah, you buy the product, you own the thing, life doesn't necessarily change. It sounds like an empty promise to me. Abraham Lincoln said, "We must not promise what we ought not, lest we are called on to perform what we cannot." It's old-fashioned language for don't say you're going to do something because you might be called to do it and then you can't. So on Friday, we slowed and we said at Easter Friday, we took time to wrestle with our deep feelings and to ask ourselves where is Jesus for me? Remember, today we celebrate they get to the tomb, Jesus is gone, but they thought they knew where to look for Jesus, just like his parents when he was 12, but Jesus wasn't there. And we said to ourselves, where in our life is Jesus? And I gave you a whole bunch of options that we can assume that he's with us. And I asked us the question, let's not just take for granted that he's with us. And actually, we've wandered away from him. And so this morning, I'm wanting to look at some empty promises. Is that okay? I think Jesus made some empty promises. Skander! I think Jesus made some empty promises. And I'm going to look at three of them with you this morning. And there's no emails involved. Don't worry. You don't have to pay any money to get the deal. But Jesus gave us some empty promises. Yeah, I've been wrestling about whether we should do this or not, but I think we're going to try. Why don't you turn to someone you don't know? This is a COVID-friendly exercise. Just turn to someone you don't know. Do you know how to do rock, paper, scissors? Do you know how to do rock? Are we able? Caitlin, are you with me? All right. Rock, paper, scissors. Okay, so turn to someone that you're not related to, if possible. I'm going to say ready, set, go, and you're going to have a one-shot rock, paper, scissors, okay? On your marks. You guys at home, rock, paper, scissors. Do it with someone in your lounge. On your marks. Get set. Go. Okay. All right. Put your hand up if you won. All right. Now you can stand up. If you're a winner, stand up. Stand up where you are. If you're the winner, hey. Check. These are the clever people in the room. My wife is standing. Must be that she's married to such a great husband. All right, now just turn where you are. The rest of you sitting, you can pay, you can watch. Turn where you are and make eye contact with someone. This is now the second round. Okay, so now we're going to go again. Turn where you are and make eye contact with someone. You're ready to go with round two. Okay, we said it's... Yes, has only the standing. The guy sitting down, you're the losers. All right, just the standers. All right, you're ready. Have you got someone to go against? All right, everyone got someone. There we go. There's one at the back. Can you see her? All right, you ready? I'm going to count. One, two, three. Rock, paper, scissors. All right, the losers sit down. Who's? We've got an epic battle here. All right, who won? Jason. Right, we've got, okay, now there are four in the room standing. All right, turn and face each other. Okay. All right. This is the last round. Rock, paper, scissors, go. Okay. Who's still standing? Caitlin and your name, sir? Arnold's. Give them a round of applause. Well done. Oh, you guys may be seated. We'll say we've got co-champions. How about that? That's very politically correct. So just in case you're wondering, that was entirely for the preacher. Thank you very much. I've had a good morning. Let's have our Easter egg hunt. So often when we do rock, paper, scissors, it's to solve a dispute, to pick someone, you know, for that job that no one wants to do. It's like either, I don't want to do it. Okay, who's the last guy? Yes. Often it's to solve an argument when no one's giving up. It's like, I said it was like this. No, you're wrong. No, I'm right. And eventually, rock, paper, scissors. And I want to talk about the same thing this morning. We're going to have a look at Jesus' empty promises. And look at some of the empty promises of Easter. Number one, we have the empty cross. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I have to say, it's not an original idea, but man, when I read these things, I thought, yes, that's so special. We live our lives surrounded by empty promises, by false hopes in people that don't do what they say they should do. And when you're talking to a call center and they say, don't worry, sir, we'll phone you back. It's like, you're right, must I put $100 in which account? Hey? I want to say to you, we had issues with the church electricity. I found a lady at the new municipality. Her name was Queen. She says, here's my number. If they don't turn up, but I think it was 12:30, I'll phone you. If I don't phone you, you can phone me. Guess what? She phoned me. And they'd already turned up. That restores your faith in humanity, doesn't it? I want to go find her, and I suppose you can't kiss a stranger, but I wanted to, I don't know, high five her out the window, whatever, COVID correct, you know. We can become quite negative about this world and the empty promises that we face, but Jesus makes some empty promises to us today. Number one is the empty cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. It says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea called Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it would be given to him. Joseph took the body, and he wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out from the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and then he went away. Someone told the story of, Joseph of Arimathea talking to a friend, and the friend said, my goodness, like your brand new tomb, how could you just give it away to a stranger? And Joseph apparently replied, well, he only needed it for the weekend. The empty cross that we celebrate today means total surrender. Jesus surrendering to the will of the Father, you and I doing the same. It means my price is paid. Isn't that cool? My price is paid. It means total forgiveness. And then it speaks of you and I taking up our cross and following Jesus. I'm sure you've seen a crucifix, right? A crucifix reminds us of Jesus suffering over Easter. But the empty cross proclaims Jesus' resurrection after Easter. I want to just remind us that it's not the amount of suffering. Sometimes we feel, oh, Jesus, you suffered so much. I'm so sorry. But it wasn't the amount of pain that Jesus went through that forgave my sins. If he'd been hit 3 times, you know, then so many people could be saved. And if he hit 4, it's not the amount of suffering. It's the sacrifice that was made in my place that brings me salvation. And that's the promise of the empty cross. A.W. Tozer says, the cross has been the end of a life and the beginning of a life. That life that ended there was a life of sin and slavery. The life that began there is a life of holiness and spiritual freedom. The empty cross proclaims a resurrected life, a back from the dead life, a no longer the same way life, a what was dead is now alive again life. That's the promise of the empty cross. The empty cross speaks of what it cost the Father to give you and I freedom from the sin so that we could be reunited with him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The empty promise of the cross guarantees that there is salvation for you and I. And can I say, if you are born again, sometimes there is still salvation needed, not in terms of heaven and hell issues, but in my circumstances. I use the illustration a lot. Primary school, high school, I lived on the coast. Man, when you're out there in the water and you're starting to go down and the lifeguard comes and grabs you, he saves you from going down, right? Now, Jesus, if you're born again, has saved us for eternity. But sometimes there's circumstances that he needs to rescue us in. And that's the guarantee of the empty cross today. If you're not born again, if you don't know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you don't know that you are going to heaven, then today Jesus can save you from the penalty and the guilt of the sin that we have. The cross represents doom for sin and hope for sinners. It's so cool. It condemns sin and it cleanses souls. The cross is where Jesus was crucified in my place and where Christ brings resurrection life to mankind. And so what is the ultimate victory of the cross? The victory of the cross is that could not hold the Savior of the world. He triumphed. Billy Graham said this. He said, "What a failure Christianity would be if it could not carry our hopes beyond the coldness and the depth of the grave." You see, the resurrection means the salvation of our souls. The empty cross, as I've said, is really a symbol of Saturday, isn't it? Of Easter Saturday, so-called Holy Saturday. It's the symbol of the waiting and the wondering, the anxiousness of what will happen next. At the same time, the empty cross points towards the fact that Sunday is coming. Tozer said this. He says, "In every Christian's heart, there is a cross and a throne." Can you think that through with me for a moment? In your heart and my heart, there is a cross and there is a throne. He went on to say, "And the Christian is on the throne until he puts himself or herself on the cross. If he refuses the cross, he remains on the throne." And my Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings. And if we're on the throne, then He cannot reign in our lives. In your heart and mind, there is a cross and a throne. Truth be told, we scoot back onto that throne very easily, right? I'm encouraging us this morning, would you take the promise of the empty cross and cling to that cross and leave the throne? The empty cross reminds us that we cannot avoid suffering and death. You know what amazes me in our current kind of political, social climate around the world? Have you watched a movie recently, a new movie? It's like you can't see an animal suffer. Have you seen anyone seen an animal hurt in a movie? We know it's all like pretend. But anyone seen, you know, when they put the horse down because it broke its leg, the camera changes and you see the guy's face, right? You don't see the horse suffer. Anyone seen an animal suffer on movies recently? How about body parts of human beings being, I suppose it depends on the kinds of movies you're watching, right? Esther, you watching it? Yeah. Some of you are. It's true. It's amazing to me how we can see suffering if you watch the wrong movies. Maybe, hopefully you check the trailers beforehand. But I mean, they're happy to show us sexual pain, abuse, criminal stuff, people dying. And not just in war scenes, close, hand-to-hand, human beings, punishing human beings. But, let's not think of, you know, Bambi getting hurt. Shame. It's amazing to me how our care and concern for each other has shifted. And Jesus says, the empty cross reminds us we cannot avoid suffering and death in this life. You can look away, but you won't. Friday was Friday, right? And it's when we think that we're exempt from tough times that it causes us to be shaken. But when we know Jesus suffered so that I would have someone with me in my pain to bring me through my pain. Chris Ryan said, "The empty cross is a sign of hope. It tells us of the new life that God surprises us with. It comes at the moment we cannot expect. It reminds us that the experiences of pain and grief and dying are filled with the presence of Christ. The one who was crucified is now risen." The promise of the empty cross is a once for all debt paid reconciliation with the Father. My eternity is secure. In this life, the Bible says, you will have trouble, and that's not great. But compared to an eternity right with God, man, it's a small thing because He's with me. And this leads to a lifelong pursuit of carrying our own cross. Isaac Watts, do you know who he is? He wrote this little song a few hundred years ago. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, man, there are plenty. I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, if everything belonged to me, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Depending on how long you've been around, if you grew up in a school or a church singing hymns, you would recognize that, right? Such a powerful hymn. Predicated on the promise of an empty cross. Tozer again says, the man on the cross, think this through, because in our heart, there is a throne and a cross, right? The man on the cross, or the lady on the cross, is facing only one direction. The person on the cross is not distracted or tempted to the left or the right. They have to focus in one direction. The man on the cross is not going back. The cross is in the way. He has no further plans of his own. Can you imagine if you and I, can I use this language? Just stick with me till the end of the thought. Just stick with me till the end of the thought. Can you imagine if you and I were so thoroughly conquered that we would be willing supplicants of this Jesus, the King of all? I say that hesitantly because today that's offensive language. Yes, it simply means that me, in my hold on my right to self-determination, I've offered that to him because I have nothing better to give him. He is my Lord, he is my King, he is the one that paid the price. We celebrate with this empty cross. Someone said this, they said it's better for the cross for you to carry the cross than the cross to carry you. Isn't it amazing that when we look at the empty cross, the promise of the empty cross, we think of Jesus, right? And the power of the fact that he's no longer on the cross. Yes? And yet Jesus himself, I'm jumping ahead, Jesus himself says that you and I, if we are his followers, need to carry our cross. It's like Jesus leaves his cross to be seated on the throne, and you and I need to leave our throne to cling to our cross daily, that we might follow him. Oh, the changing in our thinking that we need to accept. So the first empty promise of Easter is the empty cross. The second one is the empty clothes or the empty cloths, depending on how you read it. I find this such a challenge. So remember, they arrive on Easter Sunday. The ladies are thinking, how are we going to open the tomb? How are we going to roll back the throne? The stone, sorry. And as they get there, on Easter Friday, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus blow cover. This is the interesting thing. They identify themselves as Jesus' followers, and they go to Pilate and they ask for the body. You see, in the day, a criminal crucified on the cross would have been consigned just to a common grave that the administration, so anyone dead there would just be thrown in a common grave. And somehow Joseph of Arimathea said, no, this cannot happen. I'll give him even my tomb. And so in John 19, we read, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus. Do you remember that name? Nicodemus was the guy who came to Jesus secretly at nighttime. And when Jesus said, you must be born again, he said, what? How can I grow? How can that be biologically possible? Remember that conversation he had with Jesus? And Jesus said, actually, this is not what I'm talking about. You need to be born again in your heart. That's the Nicodemus. And now we have Joseph as well. He says, the man who earlier had visited Jesus by night, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. You see, Joseph is described as being a member of the Sanhedrin, and we know Nicodemus was as well. The Sanhedrin was the royal, the religious council who approved the deal with Judas. But now these two men were not part of that. He was a rich man. He was good standing in the community. He was well respected. He was wealthy because he had such a fancy tomb. And somehow, something up until this point, Nicodemus and Joseph have remained behind the scenes. They've been followers of Jesus, but somehow they've kept it quiet. But when they see Jesus crucified on that cross, when they ask for his body and they wrap it in these cloths and they put the spices and all of that stuff on it to embalm the body, and they take it and lay it in the tomb, something changes when they saw Jesus crucified on the cross. I'm trusting this morning that in this Easter, something will change for you and I. Now, all of a sudden, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they said, no, we cannot remain silent any longer. I don't know what it was, but when they saw the Savior of all the world, when the sun went black on Friday, something changed in their hearts. It's amazing. They knew Jesus as the live Savior, but it was in his death and the promise of the empty cross. And when they went and they embalmed Jesus with those clothes, something changed for them. They made it public. The empty cloths speak of boldness, disappointment, and restored faith. Scott Bales said, John did not know on Friday what you and I know now. John and the others believed in Jesus. They put their faith in Jesus. All their hopes and all their dreams rested in a man that they believed was God in human flesh. And then he died. The body was wrapped in strips of linen and laid to death. All of Jesus' followers were discouraged and disillusioned. Doubt swirled about them. Jesus' death dealt a crushing blow to John's faith. John, who loved Jesus so much, was rocked by disappointment when seemingly all hope was lost. It was when they buried Jesus on Friday. But on Sunday, when he arrives at the tomb and he saw those cloths empty and Jesus' body no longer there, John's faith was restored. We can read in John 20, verse 6. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth that had wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, that's John, who had reached the tomb first, went inside. He saw and he believed. What is the promise of those empty cloths? It's the faith restored when we see the evidence of God at work. And I wonder if you can relate to John's predicament. I would be bold enough to say, if not today, then you will one day, because life is full of times like this. Tragedies often dent and sometimes threaten to destroy our faith. Maybe it's the loss of a job or the loss of a friend or the loss of an opportunity or something that breaks our heart. Maybe God didn't quote-unquote show up when you thought he should have. When life gets hard or hopes are shattered, our faith can suffer this devastating blow. But the empty cloths speak of new beginnings. The empty promise of the cloths is a new beginnings. Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 61, and he says to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them, do you remember this, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and wait for it, the garments, or the clothes of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I don't know if you're walking the road of disappointment and despair this Easter. I want to remind you that there is a promise that comes in those empty cloths that guarantees a new beginning. It guarantees this exchange, this changing of one reality for another. The final one, the final empty promise of Easter is the empty grave. We should cheer and shout and scream when we come to this one, right? Mary and some of the ladies, and I'm running out of time, but I felt, I wonder if you're at home, you guys here in the building. I don't want to make too much of this, but I just felt as I've been praying over this weekend. But there are ladies, just like those ladies. You're sitting here in this building, you're sitting at home. Maybe there isn't a family or there isn't a husband around you. And Mary is a single lady, and I was so struck, and I'm not saying about your path in life. This weekend, you're a lady alone. And I was so touched by Jesus' care and concern for Mary and for the other woman at the tomb. And forgive me for just taking a risk, but I want to remind you this morning, if you're a lady like that, so what? Jesus sees you. He knows you by name, and he loves you. And I wanted you to know that this morning. Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. It says, suddenly angels appeared to them and announced, don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. John 20, verse 15. He asked a woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, so if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. And he said to her, Mary. She turned to him, and she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples and with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he had told to her. The empty cross tells us that Jesus has triumphed over death. And just as certainly as he triumphed over death for him, those things that have died for you and I, Jesus triumphs over this morning. Most people today hope for a long and happy life, but Jesus offers way more than that. He offers forever. He offers eternity. The promise of eternal life is this heartbeat of hope. It's that we as Christians long for and look forward to. We marvel at the gift God has promised, but because of the promise of eternal life, we have this unshakable hope we are heading to forever. Kat, I'm going to skip to the last slide. So this morning we have some empty promises that I'm so excited about. The first time in my life I've rejoiced when I've heard of empty promises, right? I want to remind you this morning, the promise of the empty cross speaks of forgiveness. Jesus in my place, reconciling me to the Father. The promise of the empty clothes speaks of faith. Though I was disappointed when things looked bleak, when I see the clothes are empty, it restores my faith. And the promise of the empty grave speaks of my future. The fact that Jesus triumphed over death means that he holds my future in his hands. Forgiveness, faith, and future. I wonder which will be yours this morning. If you need to come to the Lord and forgive and ask for forgiveness, please do so. If your faith has flagged and disappointment has caused you to be downhearted, would you see the promise of those empty cloths and rekindle faith this morning? If you feel as though your future is dark or dim, would you know today that Jesus holds our future in his hands because he triumphed over the grave? God bless you.